Just wanna find me a pretty partner and dance, 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 dance. Everybody, dance, 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 you lazy bastards. This is Used Wigs Radio, podcast 14, the highest energy podcast we've ever produced. Todd and Russ are here. They're passing around some amphetamines and practicing some roundhouse kicks. And I will be doing the show from my Stairmaster while I will push this machine to its limits. Russ, what in God's name was that toe tapper we just heard?
That was a band called The Good Rats from my hometown of Long Island, New York.
Is that indicative of all the music they play? That kind of snappy, fun...
No, that one is one of their funnier ones and jazzier tunes. But, I mean, they're very competent musicians. They're fantastic. They're still playing underneath us, if you listen closely.
All right, let me listen. That's some good stuff. Hey, Todd, how are you?
Nice to see you tonight.
Yeah, that was fun. You guys are kind of mellowing out now after your little gymnastics you were just doing. It's pretty impressive. You got some moves.
Gotta catch our breath.
Okay.
Name three gymnastics moves.
I can name three gymnastics movies.
Gymkata,
which was fantastic.
That was the fighting.
That was the fighting story.
Okay,
Mitch Gay, Mitch Gaylord,
yeah,
doing Gymkata.
He was bad.
Of course, the American anthem with Janet Jones, the wife of Wayne Gretzky.
Uh huh.
And another gymnastics movie.
There's that new one, right?
Is there a new one?
It's not called Gymnastics or something like. That was in the trailer for the movie.
All right, let's go back to moves. You give me a move, gymnastics.
Round off.
Round off. I'll give you one. Hamel Camel.
Is that real?
No, that's actually an ice skating move.
Isn't a back handspring a gym spring?
Yeah.
Gymnastics move.
Here's something my wife and I were discussing the other day.
Iron Cross.
The dumbest thing you can do in college athletics is be a female gymnast in college. They have female gymnasts in college. What other thing would you spend, you know, hours of your day on that you're already 10 to 15 years past your prime in a sport? Where are they going to go from there? Strippers, pole dancers?
There are a lot of sports that you can play in college or compete in college that there's no, you're not going, there's no,
lacrosse.
Professional circuit.
Right, I mean, there is a professional lacrosse, but that's just silly, and no one really watches that.
Yeah, my brother was a, you know, lacrosse player in college, and he always said that he thought it would be kind of fun. Well, when he was a freshman, he said, hey, I could play professional lacrosse, and most of the guys who do it are also doctors or lawyers or something, and they
right.
just kind of play on the side,
because yeah.
you can't make a living doing it. But then, you know, a couple years into it, he said, that sounds like a really dumb idea.
Guys, this is Podcast 14, and we're switching gears. We used to be a talk show basically about... pop culture and play some music. Now we're all sports radio, right, guys?
Right.
We've been brushing up on sports. Because I noticed Todd's face is painted in the colors of Brazil. Is that for the World Cup?
I'm a gigantic Brazilian soccer fan.
That's great. And Russ, you excited about the World Cup?
I'm a part of the Tartan Army.
Tartan Army, very nice.
I'm all about Scotland.
I love. Well, if they were in the World Cup, it would be great, Russ. But
what?
Since they're not, they didn't make it this year.
They're in the world.
Really? They didn't qualify.
Oh, crap.
The only team to qualify from the British Isles would be England.
There I was thinking.
You
I was
see how closely he follows them.
Yeah. Here's what I love about the World Cup, and I do love it. It is the one sporting spectacle, if you will, that Americans do not rule. So then we can get a unique perspective when they do commentary on the sport, where it's not all about how great America is. I mean, I know I'm being unpatriotic, and I'll probably, you know, be on the some sort of watchdog list or being a committee for unpatriotic activities. But I like it that we're not good.
Haven't we been hearing for the last 20, 25 years that soccer will be the next great American pastime?
Yeah,
I mean, it's supposedly been on the cusp.
When we were kids, everybody in my town played soccer, and if you didn't, you were an outcast. And I didn't necessarily want to play soccer when I was a little kid.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
But I went and played because you had to.
I knew nothing about. I still know nothing about soccer. But when I played soccer in Pee Wee League or Little League soccer,
painting a picture. Were you heavy then?
I was chunky and unathletic.
Were you a fullback?
I had
he looked like one of those little peg people.
Yeah.
I had like the Dorothy Hamill haircut, the big bowl cut, and I looked like a fat little Joey.
Okay.
You know, so yeah.
And I, go on.
And let's say I don't remember what position I played, but let's say it was like right wing. Well, I knew so little about it. All I would do was look across the field at what our left wing was doing, and I would try to stay parallel on the, like, as if we were foosball people or something. Like, you know, if he was running forward, I would be running forward. So I figured if I just stayed parallel with him, we couldn't look that bad off.
Well, my brother used to, he would be out on the field and he would bend down and pick dandelions and things like that. My dad would be screaming at him, "Damn, stop picking the flowers!"
Do you guys want to hear a very inspiring sports soccer story?
You actually have an inspiring sports story about you?
It was almost inspiring, yes. I played soccer my whole life and I played goalie my whole life.
Huh.
And we had this very, very high-strung coach. Great guy, but he was freaking insane. He went so insane during one game that he had a minor heart attack on the sidelines.
No way.
Passed out. Mr. Gene Corey from Belmore. Love you. Friggin' nut. Passed out. Ambulance had to come. Put him up on a stretcher, and he was still, like, red-faced and just... And it was 2-1. We were winning. We were playing Rumson, the rich kids. We were from Belmore, the poor kids. We were beating them on their home turf. And as he's getting carted off, the ambulance is there, concerned parents milling about... He came right by the goal while I was standing in. I don't sit when I play soccer. I was planning my next move. He looked at me from the stretcher, put his fist up, and goes, "Keep him going, Jeff. Keep him going, Jeff."
That's a lot of pressure.
And I was imbued with this sense of like this is my epic moment where I will now, not only will we win 2-1, we'll probably win 10-1. I will make these saves like you can't imagine. Bam, bam, bam. 4 goals go flying past me. We lose 5-2. It was the fastest blur of soccer offensive onrush I've ever witnessed.
The guy distracted you, though.
He distracted me. The inspiration there was the other team was so inspired by our coach.
So how old were you?
I was probably 13. And then I remember we all had to go to the hospital to see if our coach was dead.
Did you bring him, like, little orange slices from the game?
Was he dead?
This is for you, coach.
No, he did not die, and he coached us for another couple of years.
There's a pretty good band out there called the Halftime Oranges, you know.
It's a pretty good name. Speaking of pretty good, guys, how about we listen to some pretty good music from the Garden State, New Jersey? This is the Bouncing Souls.
Wishing you the blue yesterday. I know that better things are on the way. I know you've got a lot of good things happening up ahead. The past is gone, it's all been said. So here's to what the future brings. I hope tomorrow you'll find better things. 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 Oh, I know tomorrow you'll find better things.
And we're back, kids. That was The Bouncing Souls, one of the greatest bands ever to come out of New Jersey. They're on Epitaph Records. You can go to bouncingsouls.com. And that was a cover song of one of Todd's favorite bands, but not one of your favorite band's favorite eras of yours.
I like earlier stuff by The Kinks.
Right, that was a Kinks song. But that is a feel-good song I've ever heard.
Yeah, that was a great cover.
Empowering. And you weren't too jazzed by that?
No, I feel good about it, yeah.
Okay, as long as you feel good.
That's a good song to be playing when you're playing goalie.
Yeah, definitely. As goals are flying past you in the speed of
this
light.
This is a serious question I don't know the answer to. You wore a different shirt than the rest of the team.
Yes.
Did you get to pick out the shirt?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. My wife asked the same question yesterday while watching soccer.
Uh-huh.
Does the goalie get to pick out their outfits? And yeah, that's like the creative part of being on a soccer team.
That makes it worthwhile to be a goalie, I think.
Yeah.
Using your hands.
Yeah, it's just, you know, picking out. Actually, I wore a kilt. Very tasteful kilt, tartan plaid.
I think it's funny that you were goalie, actually, because most of the kids in my town that were goalies were real dicks. Like, you could always count on the goalie being the biggest dick.
Not far from the truth there.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in a really conceited sports guy kind of
way. Yeah, you had to have that kind of very hubris, if you will. Temerity, if you will.
Right.
And I kind of had that. I was
a dick.
I was a dick. Growing up, I was a dick. I'm a little less of a dick now.
That was a word, Dick.
Ross, what's on your mind, man? You seem a little distracted. What's going on?
Oh, Jeff, so many things are on my mind.
Is it the house?
Well, let me tell you a story about what happened here at the house last night. And this is when now we're getting to the point where fact is stranger than fiction. We're blurring that line.
Uh-huh.
Last night, first of all, there was an issue where the brand new central air system that we put in was leaking into the ceiling over here, and it was leaking down through the cabinets.
Just water?
Water, yeah, from the condensation line.
Not blood.
Not blood, which got locked up and all this kind of stuff. So we that's not the story. You know, that was a real pain. We had the emergency service here, and the guy was working on it till 11 o'clock at night and all this kind of stuff. But we got it fixed up, and then he left. You let my phone ring in?
Yeah, we have a caller, but we don't take calls. We don't take calls!
And so then... So I'm already a little on edge, you know, we just paid a lot of money to get this put together. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Lisa and I wake up simultaneously to what I think is the smell of something burning, this really super strong smell.
Good
and
word.
I get up and I'm about to run in here and figure out what's going on and trying to figure out what it is. And then finally Lisa goes, wait a minute, don't you recognize that smell? It's a skunk. So the outside unit at about 3 in the morning turned on, and there was a skunk by it that got frightened and sprayed it.
Oh.
And consequently, it blew all the skunk juice through the house, into the bedroom,
holy
everywhere,
crap.
Through the
skunk
vents.
Juice. How did you just know that it was a skunk? And you guys do
this
live.
Was skunk so you, smell. And wow. there are skunks around here. We've seen them.
So in a sense, you've paid $7,000 to make a duct system to evenly distribute skunk scent.
Todd, if I had paid $7,000, I would do cartwheels.
Oh, you paid a lot more.
Yeah.
Wow. So what are you going to do to prevent this problem in the future? Are you going to get a humane skunk trap?
No, they have stuff called Critter Ritter.
Oh, how cute.
And you spray it around things like that and it won't go close to
how
it.
Did you, it doesn't smell like skunk right now.
No, it actually...
Spray the house down with tomato juice?
We lucked out, but this happened to somebody else that I know, and her father had to... They had to boil vinegar, and they had to put little vials of vinegar around the house and all this weird stuff to get it to go away. And they would put dryer sheets on the vents, all this weird stuff. We've kind of lucked out that it hasn't stayed in here.
I thought the story was going to be that the leaking water made like a damp mark in the shape of the Virgin Mary or something. Like,
well, that also happened.
On the side note.
Is that why there's like 400 Christians outside your house taking pictures and praying?
Yep.
Wow. Guys... Let's keep with the music. Why don't we play a band called Space Needle? Anybody want to play Space Needle?
I do.
Okay.
tried, but we never could get it right. Never saw through the lies. Still we tried, but we never could see the light. We had left a stranger, and we never knew why. Freedom and danger gave sight to a restless eye. Now we're apart, 'cause we took it all too hard. All we know so far is we were strangers right from the start. And we never knew why. Freedom and danger gave sight to a restless eye. Love left us strangers, and now we're years apart. Freedom and danger gave sight to a restless eye. Sight to a restless eye. As the sun, sight to a restless eye. As the sun, sight to a restless eye.
That was Space Needle with Love Left Us Strangers. That's a band that I don't know that much about, actually.
They're old band, right? 90s?
Yeah, I think they lasted until about 98, 99. Yep. I think they only had two albums. They're very different, and even the songs on each album are kind of weenish, the way they change.
It's a song that makes you think that you want to maybe slow dance in middle school or something.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Now, hold it. Now at this age, you want to go to middle school and slow dance?
I want to be of middle school age, slow dancing in middle school.
I think, you know, it's actually a surprisingly genuine band. Uh-huh. I like it.
I thought it was sweet, nice, made me feel good. Hey, Todd. We're, you know, this is all sports radio now, and we're very, you know, into sports. And you must have heard that a sports guy got in a bad motorcycle accident and he wasn't wearing his helmet.
Yes.
That's he's Brett a Pittsburgh Steeler. Yeah, Brett Musburger, exactly.
What?
Pittsburgh.
I thought it was Roethlisberger.
Russ, you just proved you know a little bit more about sports than Todd. Yeah, it is.
It is, right?
Ben Roethlisberger, a big lunkhead quarterback from the world champion Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, Todd, you're a motorcycle guy.
I ride a motorcycle. Yep.
Do you ride helmeted or sans helmet?
I always wear a helmet now, especially. I went through a stint where I didn't wear a helmet. And actually a parent, because I'm a middle school teacher, a parent asked me, very sincerely, could I please wear a helmet because the student saw me out and around town without a helmet on and didn't want to wear a helmet riding a bike. And I felt like if I could wear a helmet, which will help the mom, help the kid, protect his head, small price to pay.
I think that's
so.
Good,
my ears
good.
Sweat for my middle school.
But you should get one of those awesome like those crazy German helmets with the spike on the top.
I have one with flames that match my arm.
Do you?
Yeah. Todd has a flamed tattoos on his forearm. So, but I also asked you if you would match the flames on your arms to the actual
to the
gas tank. Yeah, and you thought that was a little lame.
I actually, yeah, and I don't wear the helmet that much with the flames anymore because it seems like overkill.
Right.
Like, I'm a flame guy. I'm on fire as I drive as I ride
Put
around.
Put me out. Better stop, drop, and roll this guy. Yeah, I think if you get into anything.
What do you think about the law, though? Because, frankly.
Johnny Law? Screw the law.
I wear a helmet, and I choose to wear a helmet, and my wife wears a helmet, but I don't think it should be a law to have to wear a helmet.
But why
I
is your wife...
one of the reasons why people don't wear helmets, I know that one of the reasons is because it feels good in your hair and it feels better, but I really think that one of the other reasons is that these guys are like, you know what, I just spent all this money on this motorcycle and I want people to know that it's me. I don't want people to... I don't want to be out here with a helmet on my head and I get to be this cool motorcycle guy, but nobody knows who it is.
Well, I wear my name.
Yeah.
Heat press letters.
I really do think that's part of it. I think that people want to be seen.
I tell you what, it's a much more pleasant experience without a helmet.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I mean, you can...
Are you talking... about what you think I'm talking about?
Nope. Okay. Riding a motorcycle.
Riding a motorcycle, all right.
but I don't think that we should have laws that protect people from themselves. You know, it's like
you sound like that's some very civil liberties type issue. You sound very libertarian there.
No, it's just one of the few like survival of the fittest type things that we have.
That
you know?
Is a great point. I'm all about
let people
weeding
kill themselves.
Out
yeah.
The process of weeding out.
Right.
Sure. Darwinism is it's a great thing, and a lot of times bad things happen to dumb people, which in turn are good things.
For smart people like us.
Can I just bring up something? I'm going to bring it up later about what great TV shows to watch this summer, the summer of reruns. Could Comedy Central not play the frigging... Who are those country fried comedians?
Blue collar comedy.
Every night from 8
must have been
o'clock.
On for 24 hours in a row.
Every night between 8 and 12, you turn on Comedy Central hoping to get anything, and you'll see... Jeff Foxworthy, those other three retards, and the Get Her Done guy. I mean, I understand that comedy's there for a reason, and it you know, it's for certain people, but, you know, show a little diversity.
About 2 years ago, they had four or five stand-up comics who are kind of peripheral comedians that are, I respect them all, they're really funny, and they sat around a table talking about the top 100 comics.
I watched that.
That were chosen probably by Comedy Central or the executive producer, and every time a new comic would come up, one person would introduce them, and they would talk a little bit about the comedian. Mm-hmm. Jeff Foxworthy comes up, and you gotta have him on the list. I mean, he's like the top-selling comedian, maybe even person of all time.
But... I'm sure I have that on my list. I don't think he's funny.
Well, no. Well, here's the funny part. So, the comedian's sitting around the table. They say, oh, Jeff Foxworthy, number whatever, 41. And they had nothing to say. They're like, they kind of just shook their heads like, oh, there he is. He's got his thing. Yeah. You know, it was so painful.
I think that what is the four of those guys, right?
There's four, yeah.
Ron White,
the one
Larry
guy,
the cable guy.
The one guy I think is funny. And it might be, I hate that Larry
Ron
the cable
White's
guy.
Not bad. He's
That's
only
the guy I'm thinking
tater
of.
Salad.
Yes,
yeah.
The tater salad
he's
guy.
Not bad, yeah.
He, I think, is funny. Because, you know, when you see comedians, you want to see comedians from different walks of life. That's kind of what makes them funny. So I don't think ruling out like a redneck kind of comedian.
And his material is strong.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that the other guys rely on stupid catchphrases, and they rely on the like stupidity of their audience. To, you know, and so whenever they're drowning, they just throw in their "here's your sign" or that stupid
"get her done."
It's not funny.
But if you get stuff done, then it's appropriate.
It's productive. It's productive.
It is productive. Why don't we just leave it at that and take a positive away from that? That these four guys, they get stuff done, and people appreciate it, and that's why they enjoy watching.
All right, Jeff, why don't you get her done with some music?
All right, and sticking with, you know, this country theme and Americana and everything, let's play a French band. This is Double Dots.
Tu sais, oh, combien je t'aime, à quel point tu comptes pour moi. Tu sais, partout je te cherche, j'aimerais bien finir
back, people. Did your French from high school come back to you? Picked up a few words there? I sure didn't. That was Da Black Dots with their song I Crave You. I don't know much about this band. I know the name of the album is called Number One, and I found it on emusic.com, a great resource for indie music. Guys, that was pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
I like
that.
They're great. Yeah. I like those guys.
Yeah, the whole album's really tight. Really really cool stuff. It's a mix of everything from Fugazi 1 second to some sort of music I know nothing about. Nina Simone.
Okay.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. My blood's kind of boiling about the whole comedian thing in Comedy Central. And I got so excited, guys, for a show that came back on this summer called Last Comic Standing. It was on a couple years ago. First season was great. It had some really funny people. But this year, they just narrowed it down to 10, and they did a search all around the country. They couldn't have picked 10 of the least funny people. And the reason they did this is people are no longer concerned with good comedians who tell funny jokes. They want characters. They don't want like a comedian like a Stephen Wright who'll just get up there and tell really quality jokes, a Todd Barry. They want a fat housewife who's pregnant to tell jokes about how she's trying not to have sex with her husband. And everybody has to have a shtick. And the whole act is them doing the shtick. The giant Mexican comedian, all he can talk about is being Mexican and eating food.
You know what, though? That might not just be what people want in comedy or stand-up comedian, but also the producers of the show want characters to...
Of course.
So that people around the water cooler can say, I want the fat Latino guy to
win. Oh, it's easier.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I told you guys that I was a finalist for The Real World, like, season 4. Yeah.
Wow.
When I was in college, I sent a demo tape, or I sent a tape describing myself and things like that, and I actually made it to the final 30 people out of, like, they said 3,200 and some odd, and it was for the season where they went to Miami and they had the business.
Yeah, that was a great business.
So, and it was pretty weird because, like, they would call me. There was prearranged times where they were going to call me, and I had to have a speakerphone and a camera set up, and the camera had to be facing me, and I had to answer the questions they're asking me on the speakerphone facing the camera. And then I would have to Federal Express the videotapes. It happened 2 or 3 times where we had these kind of...
Wow.
Yeah. And it was weird because I would be showering and getting dressed in preparation for this phone call, you know? But my point being is, like, they sent this big, long letter after I didn't get it, explaining that, you know... I guess people are, like, throwing themselves off bridges if they don't get in the show, because it was this big, like really soft letdown. Like, don't be upset. It's not the quality of person that you are. The producers are looking for very diverse personalities.
But
and if we perceive overlap in those personalities...
And the reason why they sent the soft letdown is because a lot of the people they get on those shows are very unstable. And they look for them on purpose.
Yeah, you know, it's
because that's good TV.
But I just remember thinking that it was pretty interesting because I kind of got a little bit of the insight of casting a reality TV show.
So if you wouldn't be sitting here today. You would actually be bungee jumping off a terrace in a hotel in Miami with all the other freaking 20 losers who do this Road Rules Real World
Challenge.
Yeah, right. That's their
Speaking
whole life.
Speaking at colleges and things like that.
They had one guy, like Cyrus, the guy who was on Boston. I don't know. It was like the second or third
9 years ago, right.
He's this big, fat, middle-aged guy now, and he's like hanging out with 22-year-olds, you know, like, all right, you guys, we're going to... put you in Pamplona, you're gonna, you know, run with the bulls, and when you're done running with the bulls, you're gonna have to swim, you know, this. And he's just gassed, and he can't breathe, and it's just so embarrassing.
He still does the
He did it up things? Until, like, 2 years ago.
What, is he a host or something?
No, they take all the real-world losers and all the other idiots from the other show.
Yeah, and they put them together.
And they do competitions.
Like potato sack races.
For like 50
like
grand. And it's just all these people have nothing else.
Someone once said that if you're a reality TV star, you are, for the rest of your life, you'll be recognized in fast food joints, but you're also doomed to be eating in fast food joints for the rest of your life. You know, it's like,
it's
flirting with fame, you know?
Yeah. So we got from comedy to real world to, let's never talk about real world, even promote that.
True story.
Yeah, that's not even promote. Actually, my best friend's cousin was on season 1, Eric Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Eric Nice?
His father's an NBA.
Sure
referee.
Is.
Yeah.
Actually,
I'm very proud to say that I know nothing about what you're talking
host
about.
Host of the Grind?
Yeah, I've never seen Russ look more out of it, like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I couldn't name any of the real world characters, and I feel like I should be given a medal.
They're not characters, they're people.
They are.
Oh, right, okay.
Russ, they're people.
No, they're characters.
They're people, damn it. Speaking of people, why don't we play a band named after a person? A president.
Lincoln.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
tires are flat, and you lose your keys and your favorite fat hat. You're leaping frogs and you're eating bees and asking St. Jude for a pretty please. When the buzzer is broke and you're given the kiss from your friends who all moved to Los Angeles, the refrigerator's filled with nothing but ice, some old nail polish and some orange slice. When you haven't a dime or an appetite, 'cause your honey said, honey, go fly a kite. When you're out on a limb, you're up in a tree. M-I-S-S-I-N-G. Just remember what the biker chick said, that you're really alive when you wish you were dead. And there isn't a God or a heaven or hell. Life's a little old apple and a William. Wise up, low town baby, that's all she had to say. And if you wanna get lost, whatever the cost, you better not stay. Bridge up, low down, wise up, low town baby, that's all she had to say. And if you wanna get lost, whatever the cost, you better not bartender every day and night. And you're out of mind, out of sight. Just remember what the biker chick said, that you're really alive when you wish you were dead. And there isn't a God or a heaven or hell. Life's a little old apple and a William. Tell. Reach out, go down, wise up, look down, baby, that's all she had to say. If you wanna get lost, whatever the cost, you better not stay. Reach out, phone down, wise up, low town, baby, that's all she had to say. If you wanna get lost, whatever the cost, you better not stay.
Blow by Van Lincoln, album called Lincoln. I found out about that band because I went to go see They Might Be Giants perform, and that band opened for them. I was blown away by the set, bought the CD. I think they broke up 9 or 10 hours after I bought that CD, but played it nonstop since then. Now it's like 11 years ago. That CD is fantastic.
They're named after the They Might Be Giants album, Lincoln, aren't they?
It could be.
I believe that's where they got their name.
I have no idea. But
no podcast talks about They Might Be Giants more than us. Let's just get that fact out there, right?
Well, They Might Be Giants have their own podcast.
I bet you they don't talk about themselves more than we talk about them. Why don't we hook up with that podcast, give them a call or something from our podcast, set that up, Todd, and we'll see who talks about TMIBG. TMBG.
All right, so listen, we were talking before about, you know, the real world people and, you know, who they're essentially losers. Right, okay. There's a whole category out there of losers that I would like to address that I just came face to face with, and this is like the lowest of the low.
Okay? Be prepared to be offended, listeners.
I'm sure they're not listening to this.
Okay,
so you guys know that I'm in the midst of selling off my CD collection.
Yes.
So I'm trying to sell off, you know, big chunks of albums.
Against my wishes. Go ahead.
Right. I'm trying to sell off big chunks of albums by bands, you know, in one shot. And Todd was saying that's a tough audience to hit because you're looking for somebody who wants every album by an artist and has none. But surprisingly, people do buy them. But anyway, that's really easy with some bands because there's a clamoring for them. So, you know, Pink Floyd, that was very easy. But then I have all this Uriah Heep stuff that was a guilty pleasure that I shared with my uncle when I was a kid. Okay, that's my excuse. But anyway, so I'm trying to sell like this gigantic Uriah Heep collection. And so I put it up on eBay, and I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know how many people are going to go searching for this, so I probably should go do a little promotion to get this sold. So I find the like official Uriah Heep blog.
Nice.
And I go on there, and I just go, hey, everybody, thought you might be interested in this. This just went up on eBay. Thanks. And, like, immediately, there's a zillion... It's like talking to clones of the comic book guy on Simpsons. People are like, you loser. No one would want these inferior versions from that you're selling instead of the actual UK editions with bonus tracks and, like, all this stuff. And the funny thing is, I mean, they just slam people right off the bat. And
rightfully so.
Well, okay, you know what, but in that situation, maybe, right, because they're slamming you because you're trying to sell something, but it's, you watch them even bicker among each other, they're just on there because it's a place where they can hide behind these personas, and they just beat on each other, and they're talking about who's the best keyboardist in the band, and what's the best album, and I'm talking relentless, and it made me think about the fact that, you know, we're always saying to people, hey, post on our blog, give us feedback, and we get, like, nothing.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because, like, I went on there because I had a purpose to try and sell something. Otherwise, I have never posted on a blog, ever.
Yeah.
Because what am I getting out of it? Absolutely nothing. But there are people who live for it. And I just think that the people who listen to our podcast, they, what are they going to say? They can't be bothered. They don't need it. But these guys thrive off of it, and it is the dumbest. I'm telling you, I should give you the address because these people are, they act like they're so intelligent, just like that comic book guy. And they're just, you know, misspellings and just dumb freight.
About 4 years ago, I was very much into a game called HeroClix, which is
this makes Ross's Uriah Heep sound like it.
Yeah, it's like a miniature gaming, plastic action figure heroes that fight against each other. It's like chess, but for younger, nerdier
Jeffs, dear lord.
So it gets better. So then I found myself on one of their websites. Because I was reading a little bit about getting into some tournaments and reading about it. And
well, no, that's the next logical step. Yeah. Ross, leave me alone.
So then, I very quickly grew bored of the whole seeing the whole
that
thing.
That seems impossible.
So I felt like, let me see if I can get thrown off of this website with the blogging. So I just immediately started trashing women. Because I thought,
well, you hate women.
Well, I actually don't, right? Do, but right. But I thought it would be hysterical because they're all guys who can never talk to women, right. So they'll immediately like defend them because of like the 18% women that are on there. Right. You know, they might actually have a chance to meet or impress.
Right.
So of course I go on and say, you know, what do you guys think about women playing HeroClix? I find they're not so good because of logic and tactics and numbers and adding and things like that. What does everyone else think? And just this terrible, like this, it turned the whole thing on its ear. And then I started talking about how their ovulation cycle interferes with them, like being able to concentrate on HeroClix. And the guys are the worst because, you know, again, like they're trying to impress the women that they might actually have a chance to talk to.
Yeah.
And I got thrown off, and then I would go on under like different secret names, like my name spelled backwards, and I would start again, and the people were like in droves, you know, setting the alarm and throwing me off. And then they were blocking my IEP, and then they, I think, at one point blocked the entire state so that I couldn't even get it like from Penn or like my IP area. Anyway, long story short, I will occasionally do searches for my own name because I have the website and the artwork and stuff and see like where it pops up, and still people are posting using my name about like they'll use my name like don't be a Todd Marone
way.
I'm telling you, in the HeroClix community, do a search with Todd Marone and HeroClix, and you'll see that the name has become like synonymous with being an asshole to other HeroClix players.
Hey, listen, I don't need HeroClix to tell me you're an
asshole. HeroClix.
Yeah. It sounds cool, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, you guys expect it.
Here's the best part. To click the figure as it was getting hurt, you had to wear a little, like, decoder ring.
No.
Fit into.
No.
Yeah, but I mean, I would wear it around just, like, casually.
Wow. If you're expecting me to come up with a story of some strange website that I waste time on, well, you're sadly mistaken, because I'm not going to do it. Because I really don't. There's a little website, Use Rigs, really fun. I like people there. Guys, we need a break. My head's still reeling about what you two
did. We hit a nerd off there.
You really did hit a nerd off, and I'm going to call it a tie. Why don't we listen to some music, guys? Why don't we listen to some Long Winters and their latest song called Pushover?
Pushover. fight, we can try. I'd love an answer that isn't sly. Oh, so you say. Don't toast the day before the twilight. For you, I'm a pushover. I would. I just want you to say, come on, wish me luck, wish me luck. Unkind, girlish walk, like a deed to the world without the talk. As you wade through the crowd, I sit next to you, the seat's over.
I'm going to fill in for Jeff here, because did you guys notice that he's losing a little steam?
I am a little sick. I'm nauseous.
Are you nauseous, really?
Yeah. My daughter was throwing up over the weekend, and my wife got it, and I think I'm about to get it. As I woke up this morning, I was about to roll over. I felt a nice little hand on my side, and my wife going, "Don't roll over. There's diarrhea in the bed." And I said, "Dear, you should be able to jump up and get to the bathroom in time." But it was my daughter. She was in those. Anyway, so I'm probably going to come.
What a glowing endorsement
for having kids. Yeah, bring
diarrhea in the bed.
Bring them in bed with you, and they'll jump around and give you sweet little kisses and tickle you, and they're so cute. And then their diaper will explode all over your.
Anyone who feels like they don't have enough diarrhea in their bed, here's the answer.
Who does?
So Jeff's not feeling. Actually, I think Jeff got sick on the way over.
Yeah, I did. You kind
of, because he seemed pretty peppy.
Yeah.
For the first 3/4 of the ride, then all of a sudden.
Well, you know, the way you know I'm sick is you guys are both enjoying some delicious wine. I believe it's Alice White Cabernet Sauvignon 2005, and I haven't had a drop of it. You know how much I love to drink.
Mm-hmm. And you've been letting us get away with some serious nerd activity.
I have.
Normally, only minimal barbs.
It's true. I normally put the gavel down and try to.
The floodgates are open. The nerd gates.
I'd really like to steer this show back to Coolville.
We can get away with anything.
Why are you guys putting on those outfits? Guys, let's do shout-outs and whatnot, but I want to... my shout-outs are just going to be, like I said earlier, normally, remember growing up, summer was the time of reruns. There was nothing on TV. So you would basically just have to watch reruns. There's a lot of good shows out there if you actually go and look for them. And there's this one guy who has two great shows. If you're into cooking shows or shows about... I'm fascinated by restaurants. I'm fascinated that people open up restaurants because they all seem to fail. I'm fascinated that everyone who works in a restaurant works about 20 hours
miserable.
A day. They don't make a lot of money.
High casualty rate, yep.
And there's just no real reason to have a restaurant except to say, "Hey, I got a restaurant." Mm-hmm. So this guy, Gordon Ramsay, has a show on the BBC called Kitchen Nightmares. It's awesome. He basically goes to failing restaurants, hangs out with the people for a week, and tells them why the restaurant's failing.
And then they try to turn it around?
And then you try to turn
it
around.
That's pretty cool.
It's really cool. It's like your food sucks, your wait staff sucks, you have the wrong food, and he is brutal. He'll tell a chef, "You stink, your food stinks, go back to school. So that's on the BBC. And then he has another show on Fox called Hell's Kitchen, which is pretty popular.
Oh, that's that guy?
That's that guy?
He's actually a pretty cool guy when he's not being that insane character of like, shut it down and all that crap.
Right.
He's like a pretty renowned British chef. So the show on the BBC is very mellow, very chill, good. And then he plays this like Simon Cowell type character.
Which says a lot about the English audience versus the American audience.
They don't trust Americans to understand like solitude.
We need to throw stuff at people for the American audience. Like, they can't just say tactfully or subtly what's wrong or why this
you
is bad.
You can tell them what's wrong with the dish, but you throw in a full plate of risotto at that guy's head.
Could you pour something on top of her head and make her cry that we have a trailer?
It sucks that we have to be subjected to that and lumped into this, like, you know, American, you know, psyche or the brackets around here's what Americans like, because it sucks.
Yeah, well, you know, like Todd just told me on the way over here, the show Wonder Showsen has a character who's called
Middle America.
Middle America, and it's a giant puppet shaped like Middle America.
It's a big red piece of foam with a that's shaped like the Middle America, and he just comes on. He's like, I want to have some words at you.
Not saying, of course, we're not being the idiot liberal Northeast liberals who are saying all Middle America are stupid, and we know you're not. But you know. If you do live there and stuff, come rise up, people. Rise up and revolt.
No, they should be more offended than anybody.
They should.
Yeah, that's should, because they get roped in with that mentality. Mm-hmm. They should be furious.
That's right. We're calling you out,
Nebraska.
Missouri. Especially you, Missouri. Get off your high horse. Todd, do you have any shout-outs?
I do. I would like to recommend a book. It is a pop-up book.
Okay.
You guys remember pop-up books, right?
Sure do.
Lucky that Jeff is so sick.
This is a really beautiful pop-up book. It's called One Red Dot by David A. Carter. And it is non-representational abstract art done in pop-up form, and just about the travels of this one red dot, like, through all these really complex, ornate pop-up kind of designs. Every page is an adventure.
Is it targeted to children, or is it for everybody?
It's a pop-up book for children of all ages. It's really fantastic. It's magnificent. It's very artistic. Check it out if you're if you are like a really cool uncle that want to buy a gift that it's for kids, but you really it's not so much for the kid. It's for the adult parents who need to know how cool you are.
That's cool. I like that.
You know, one red dot.
All right. Russ, are there any outs you'd like to shout?
I'm going to shout out to the Al Gore movie, which you went to go see.
Ah.
There are a few movies that when they finished, I just sit there in silence because I'm shocked. I mean, the thing is, not too much of what was said in that movie was new to me, but you know, just having it all thrown at you like that for however long it is, 2 hours, it's powerful and it impacts you. So it was good on that level, and I feel like everybody should see it. We literally probably have like 20 or 30 years before things get really, really bad.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. You know what we should do then, guys? Just like friggin' party. I mean, like really get all your hardcore partying out.
Uh-huh.
Enjoy it. Carpe diem, every other phrase you can think of. Let's just like, you know, really spend the next 20, 30 years like Bacchanalia, just going freaking crazy.
Like playing Heroclix.
Heroclix, like just friggin' Heroclix, like 8-9
like
hours
a month. Like there's no tomorrow.
Just playing Heroclix while friggin' Uriah Heep is blasting out of your speakers. Yeah, we'll leave you with that, people. Hey, Todd, why don't we play something on the way out? What would you like to play while you're playing some Heroclix?
Tiger, My Friend by Sap.
All right. Guys, Hughes Wigs 14 is officially over.
same, you're always the same. You're always the same, you're always the same. You're always the same, you're always the same. You're always the same, you're always the same.